It's time now for Money, Riches, and Wealth. Here's your host, Drew Tignanelli.
And this is Drew Tignanelli, your Money, Riches, and Wealth, and here with Bon 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 Vasuto.
Good evening, Drew.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing well.
Yeah? You enjoying these markets?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, it keeps it.
You've been in this business, what, 28 years?
Yeah. Yeah, it's been a long time.
Yeah. So you've seen this kind of stuff, you know?
Yep. Yeah, we take it as it goes. It's it's not always you don't always know what's going on until after it's over.
Right.
You know.
And it's never fun in the middle of these, you know?
Yep.
But sometimes it's when that pain starts to happen that, you know, it's the time to keep your emotions cool.
Yep.
And, you know, just watch what's going on and strike when you think the time is ready to strike. So,
yep.
But we had a listener. We're on a open show tonight.
Yep.
That means that our listeners get to determine the direction of our conversation tonight. They can call in and ask any question they want. And, be it on investing or the market or estate planning or income taxes or insurances or whatever. If it deals with personal finances, we're here to address it for you. 410-922-6680. And the thing about us and our firm is that we are fee-only financial advisors. We're comprehensive advisors.
Yep.
We don't sell product.
Right.
I don't think we have a horse in the race, as you might say. We really just want to, as we say in our commercials, our objective is to sell the quality of our advice. And that's one of the reasons we do the show is to demonstrate what a comprehensive professional advisor should be. We believe they should be independent and fee-only. They shouldn't sell product. And they should be able to address a broad range of topics like a doctor, a general practitioner, or personal finance. And no matter what the topic is, that person can help you and address it in depth.
Yep.
So that's what we do. This is what we do on the show. We're on an open show tonight, 410-922-6680. The best time to call in and ask your question is when we're at the beginning of the show. So one caller wrote a question. He heard me this morning talking to Sean and Frank. His name's Jeff Cordella. And I shouldn't say the whole name, but I just did. Jeff Cordella.
Jeff from Cordella.
And his question was, where do you invest if they turn interest rates negative? So what is a negative interest rate? So if you had a minus 0.1% interest rate, that means that you have to pay somebody $10 to hold on to your $10,000, right?
Yeah.
Is it $10 or would it be $100? 0.1% actually would be $100, wouldn't it? So, no, it would be 10% is 1,000, 1% is 100, so 0.1% is $10, right? So $10, you'd have to pay somebody $10 to hold your $10,000. At the end of the year, you'd get back $9,990. That's a negative interest rate. You say, well, that's weird. Why would anybody do that? Well, I'm not going to go into the whole detail of that, but his question is, where would you invest? And you look at the two places, Europe and Japan, both went to negative interest rates. What was the investment that absolutely made money? If you owned it before they went negative, what was the investment that made money? And it was the bond market. The 10-year government bond market went through the floor in both Germany and Japan when they went to negative interest rates. So Germany was at like 1.25%. They went all the way down to 0.1% in a matter of about a month. And Japan was at 0.5%, and all of a sudden they went to negative just 2 weeks ago, and they're at zero today.
Zero.
You put your money in a Japanese 10-year bond, you get zero.
Right.
And that little bit of an interest move in Japan would have given you an outsized rate of return. Now, Tom said, well, what do you do after you've done that and made that money? Well, I don't have an answer for that. I'm just telling you that when interest rates go negative, the number one thing to own before they go negative is government bonds. I personally don't believe the U.S. will go negative.
Right.
So we got a lot of callers here, so we're going to have to go to them real quick.
Let's do that.
Lenny, how can we help you, Lenny?
Yes, with the election results coming in of New Hampshire, we wanted to remind everybody that these good Republican candidates are an answer to our prayers at PrayForOurLeaders.net. And we need everybody's prayers. So get in church and pray with your children at home and in church, and we'll improve our economy here in America. God bless you all, and thank you for letting me tell everybody about PrayForOurLeaders.net.
All right, Lenny.
All right, Lenny.
Always want people to be praying for our country. There's no doubt about that. Dave, how can we help you?
Well, good evening. I've got $500,000 investing into one firm, and they always seem to take a management fee whether the stocks go up or down. And what I'm looking for is somebody, you know, you guys talk about, well, you know, we're paying for your advice. And that's all in
You're looking for a performance-based fee. If they make money, they get some money, and if they don't make money, they don't get anything.
Yeah.
Right.
That's exactly what I'm looking for, because now, like, I pay whether this market, whether they pick the stock, because it's all managed service.
Well, let me just explain that to you, Dave. Typically, performance-based fees are not legal. Well, they're legal, but they're not something that most firms can do for the average person. The SEC doesn't like performance-based fees because they believe that causes the investment advisor to be too aggressive with clients' money because they're trying to get a rate of return, and therefore, you know, they want to make money. And so they might get because they're going to get a performance-based fee, if they make 10%, they're going to make more money than if they make 5%.
Right.
And they might get out of hand. And that's why the SEC does not like it, and you don't see it very often. But you get that typically with the big hedge funds.
Right.
You know, if you went to invest with a big hedge fund, you're almost always on some form of performance-based fee program. But you do have companies like Charles Schwab and TD Ameritrade that say to you, if at any end of quarter you don't like, you know, the fee that you paid for some reason, you tell them and they'll refund it to you.
Okay.
So you can go to TD Ameritrade or Charles Schwab, and you can call one of their brokers and say, I want to invest my money with one of your investment managers where you're going to refund the money to me if I don't like the rates of return at the end of any quarter.
Right. So my follow-on question is, what would be a good management fee these days based on the amount of money that I said earlier for
$500,000, it depends on whether you want advice or not. If you don't want advice, somewhere between 0.2 and 0.5% would be something reasonable for that, to manage it in an index-type situation. If you want advice, 0.5 to 1% is a comprehensive advisor-type situation.
Okay. Great.
All right, buddy.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I got to go to traffic. I'm on an open show. Give us a call, 410-922-6680. Right now, we're going to traffic. Take it away. Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one? Or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at drewtigg.com. That's drewtigg.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
No Valentine music for me, Anita? Just telling me how much you think of me, eh?
Yep.
All right. We understand. We don't need to be liked, you know? That's okay.
Next break.
Next break, maybe. Maybe that's what she was doing. She was saving it up for the next break.
Yep.
All right. We're going to Lillian. Lillian, how can we help you?
I don't even know if you deal with this, but I'm contemplating a reverse mortgage. I'm a senior. I've been in my house probably now about 15 years.
Do you owe money on your house, Lillian? You know, and Lillian, there's no area of personal finance that we don't know about.
Okay, good. Well, thank you. I appreciate that, because this is something I really do.
I understand. This is an excellent question. And I want to make sure you understand what we're going, how we're going to answer this. But we also want to teach our listening audience about this, too, because this is a very important topic.
Yep.
So do you owe money on your house?
Yes, but not that much.
Okay. And how much in general would you say your house is worth?
Maybe somewhere in the neighborhood of $475.
Okay. So let's just say $500 for education purposes.
Okay.
And when you say you owe very little, do you owe under $100,000, under $50,000?
Under $20,000.
Under $20,000. Well, good for you, Lillian.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh.
Okay, so what do you want the money for? Do you want it so that you can have extra spending money or for big things or what? What are you looking for?
As I said, I'm a senior. I've been retired now for about 8 years. And I'm at that place in life where I have a two-story house. It's getting a lot for me, but I'm settled. I know all my neighbors. I have friends. I have my own church here and everything. And thinking about relocating or, you know, even going to another house.
Well, then, if you here, let me give you my four questions. You have to answer all four of these questions yes before you even consider a reverse mortgage.
Okay.
Okay. The first one is, I'm going to stay in the house until the day I die. Well, right there, you just said a second ago that probably isn't going to be true. But let me go on. The second one is, I really don't care what it's going to cost to do this. Okay, because, you know, reverse mortgages are going to cost money. They're going to cost a good bit of money over time. They're going to reverse the mortgage and they're going to charge that interest and it's going to accumulate on your house. The third question is, I don't care what's left over. I don't care what's left over when I ultimately pass away. In other words, if my children get Zippo, I don't care.
Uh-huh. Okay.
All right. And then the last question is, I need money. And if I could have some extra money, it would be good for me. So most people will answer yes to that one. The one about the children, a lot of people will answer, well, I don't really care if there's anything left there because my children are doing fine.
Right.
The one about the cost, that starts to bother people. But the one that catches a lot of people is the I intend to stay here for life. Because if you don't intend to stay there for more than, let's say, another 15 or 20 years or life, I would tend to say stay away from a reverse mortgage. Wait until you go into your next place and then consider the reverse mortgage.
But I'm also thinking that in the mix of things, this at my age, thinking about relocating is a very...
scary.
Stressful. Very,
scary,
very stressful.
Stressful. Yes,
very
absolutely.
Stressful.
Where do you have children?
Grown, yes.
Yeah. Well, you know, you should talk to them and work out a coordinated plan as to what you're going to do long term, et cetera, et cetera. But let me tell you something. If you do decide to do the reverse mortgage, let me give you a piece of, let me give you a benefit here.
Okay.
And there's a gentleman that we know. His name's Andy Quintilian. And I believe that we can get that reverse mortgage for you at one of the most competitive rates that you can get. Now, let me tell you something. We are fee-only advisors. We will get absolutely nothing to recommend you to Andy. And we don't want anything from him because that's not what a professional advisor should do. A professional advisor should help people get the best they can. Especially the ones that have come to us as clients.
Right.
Andy Quintilian is somebody that we've met who has worked out an incredible deal with people. And if you contact Tom or myself at the office, we'll put you in touch with Andy and we'll make sure he takes good care of you if you decide to do it. But I would be careful about doing it if you have any anticipation of selling that house in the next 3 to 5 years.
Right. Got you. Okay. Now, I can just call you at your office. Where would that be?
410-823-7283.
323-7283.
Yep. We should have Andy Quintilian on the radio someday.
Yeah, we should.
To talk about it and so forth. But if you decide to do it, you call us. We'll put you in touch with him. Keep your costs down as much as possible, because they can really make some money off of you if you don't know what's going on.
Exactly.
All right? I got to run.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. We got to go to Elizabeth. Elizabeth, how can we help you?
Good evening. Possibly you can. In order to get a property tax credit, I have to enter a 1040 EZ income tax.
Right, that is correct.
And I've been doing so. For 3 years, I have had a line of credit loan on my mortgage, on my home.
Okay.
And for those 3 years, I have been paying in excess of $3,500 a year in interest on it.
Okay.
And when settlement came, or closing, whatever you want to call it, I happened to ask the gentleman if I could claim that interest on income tax, and he said no.
Well, the answer is yes and no. The answer to that is you have to have over somewhere around $7,900 in total itemized deductions, medical expenses, interest on your mortgage, state income taxes, charity. If you get up over $8,000, yes, you will get that deduction on your tax return. But if you're filing an easy tax return and you're not paying any taxes anyway,
right,
it's totally irrelevant, Elizabeth.
Yes, and that's such a shame. Because you're exactly
Yeah, but
correct.
let me tell you something. Did you hear our conversation with Lillian a second ago?
If you
intend to stay in that house a good long time, and you have a fair amount of equity in that home, you ought to be seriously thinking about the reverse mortgage, as long as you don't care as to what's left behind to your children when you ultimately pass away. And that way, you'll never have to pay that reverse mortgage again, and you don't have to worry about deducting it.
Yes, that would be the only alternative, but I do care what's left behind.
Mm-hmm. Well, make sure that you care with proper intentions. In other words, make sure that you're doing it without hurting yourself also, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm a big fan of parents leaving an inheritance to their children and being generous to their children, being life during their lifetime. But I'm also a proponent of parents who are suffering because they want to leave everything to their kids and hurting themselves financially. So be careful of that, all right?
Well, you've been very helpful. Thank you for your time.
All right, Elizabeth, you take care. I've got to go to another heartbreak, boom, right at 6:29. And we're going to traffic. Take it away, traffic.
Now back to more of Money, Riches, and Wealth on Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
So do you think she's trying to tell us we're like a bad headache?
I don't know. She might hit you on that. Unforgettable. Drew Tignanelli. Unforgettable.
Yeah, well, you know, I guess that was a pretty good one. That was very good, Anita. That was a very good one. That
All
was
right.
very good. We appreciate that.
One more
anyway,
break.
We're on an open show tonight, an unforgettable open show tonight.
There you go.
And if you want to call in and ask your question, 410-922-6680, if you'd like to call and ask a question on anything. We've had a diverse amount of topics tonight,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So you can feel free to call in. But we do have one caller online. We're going to go to her in a second. If you want to call and ask a question on anything, 410-922-6680. Ann, on selling stocks, how can we help you? Ann?
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Ann.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm okay, thank you. I can just barely hear you.
Oh, I don't know why. We're talking as loud as we can.
I have Teradata stock, and I'm thinking of selling it, and I wonder what your advice would be.
Teradata? Teradata Company?
You there?
Yeah. Did you say Teradata?
Hello?
Yeah, we're here. Are you there? Ann?
Hello?
Ann? You know, she's probably in one of those cell zones. You know, I do that a lot. I'm sitting there saying, yeah, I can hear you. You know, you can't hear me. Ann, are you still there? Ann? Oh, all right. Anita says, cut that call off. You know, try to be a professional for once, Drew, and cut that call. Well, Ann, if you call, I think she said Teradata, Tom.
It might have been, yep.
And, you know, I don't really follow it, so nope. I'm not like Jim Cramer. I mean, I know the company, but I'm not like Jim Cramer and going to make comments about a company that I don't really know that well.
Yeah.
So, you know, she's really got to do her homework and make sure she understands why she owns it. Yeah. And if it no longer fits the, you know, the goals and objectives that she had for the reason she bought it to begin with,
yep.
you know?
Yeah, which is such a key point. You know, people buy things and they don't know why they bought them and when. And
somebody told them.
Sell it. Yep. Yeah.
They heard it on television.
Yeah.
It did well for a little while, you know, or something of that sort. Yep. So anyway, and if you call back in, we'll try to help you. But If it's Teradata you were asking about, we don't really know that much about it. So we're just waiting for Anita right now. Well, we're going to Lee.
Well,
Lee.
I want to get a value.
Lee, how can we help you?
Hamburger.
Lee, what'd you say? Oh, he's getting a hamburger at McDonald's.
Lee, you getting a hamburger.
Lee's getting a hamburger. Hey, Lee, get one for me. Lee?
No.
I want a number 5. Lee?
I'm sorry.
Lee?
I'm sorry.
Oh, there you are.
Come on back,
I'm
Lee.
Sorry. Listen, I got a relative of mine who lives in Eastern Europe and earning money. Can he do investments, IRAs, and those kind of things?
He's an American citizen, right?
Yeah, he's an American citizen.
Yes, of course he can, as long as he has taxable, well, he doesn't even have to have taxable, he just has to have earned income. Even if it's excluded, it's still eligible for IRAs and so forth. But it may, you know, what he ought to do is Roth IRAs if he's not making more than $95,000. But
okay.
But the answer is yes, Lee.
Okay.
All right, you go get that hamburger, man.
Thanks a lot.
All right, give me a number 5 while you're there. Number 5. I don't even know what a number 5 is, where he was. He could have been at Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
Then I would have gotten a number 3. All right, this is Drew. How can we help you?
Yes, Drew. This is Michael, Northwest Baltimore.
Hey,
Michael.
Michael, what's happening?
How are you and your partner doing?
We're doing wonderful. That's Bon Bon down there.
Yeah.
Say
doing,
hi to
Michael.
Bon Bon.
Hi, Bon Bon.
Hey, Michael.
What's up, Michael? What can we do?
I want to point you in the direction of thinking more than the weather about the climate economically that we're in.
Okay.
When you ask your partner, have you been through these kinds of things before? His response was yes. Well, that's like the weather. Have you been before rainy days? Have you been before snowy days? Yes. But when you take a look at the overall climate economically, you see that this is not distinguishingly not like the weather. Because you have the confluence of too many events that are dire and what they mean for the world at large, especially for America. So when someone calls and says we should pray for Republican leaders, nothing can be farther from the truth.
Well, I don't disagree with you there. I was going to say something to about that. I couldn't catch if he did. He say Republican? I thought he just said pray for our leaders. But you were right. He did say Republican. I thought about that afterward, and I would disagree with that. Just pray for our leaders. If you're not praying for President Obama, you shouldn't be praying for Republicans either, because God's not going to listen to your prayers if you only pray for Republicans. Right.
If you only pray for the people you like.
Yeah. If you only Jesus said that himself. If you only pray for those that you like, what good is it to you know?
Well, one of the things that's so important to know about leadership in this end of days period is that there's not going to be any. That people are going to look for some leadership and there's going to be a huge vacuum there. They won't find anybody who's truly a leader. In fact, this generation is called the generation that has the face of a dog.
Well, I got to pick up some callers, but I agree with you because ultimately what you're saying is if we are in the end times, your Messiah is actually going to be the leader that's going to bring
this. And we've had the 10th Shemitah, not just the Shemitah.
I understand. I understand.
You're seeing what the prediction of the Shemitah said, that the stock market is falling apart.
It's not going to happen right away, though. So, you know, I think you're going to be disappointed if you expect it in the next 2 years. That's just my opinion, but we're going to have to do that at another time. I got to go to Lou. Lou on oil stocks. How can we help you?
Drew, how are you?
Good.
What do you think about buying oil stocks, and what would you buy, or how would you get into it? Because obviously that stuff would go up. I mean, it's at a low point, right? Buy low, sell high.
Well, that's true. I mean, you know, it's a dangerous sector right now, but I think I would just go with some kind of diversified index. Or, but make sure you're buying stocks, not actual oil indexes or anything of that sort.
Any recommendations?
What would you say, Tom? I mean, you know.
Well, I'd ask a lot more questions, too.
Yeah, you know, right. I mean, we own T. Rowe Price Natural Resources Fund.
He owns some oil. He's got some energy in there.
But he owns other things.
It depends on what you're looking for. I mean, obviously, you get some, right now there's some.
Looking to make money.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, you can just stick with the big multinationals, you know, yeah. Chevron and Exxon and them, because they're going to get beat up. They're going to get hurt if oil continues to stay down and is down. But they're not going to go out of business. And that's the problem. That's the risk you run with any oil company that's has an incredibly strong balance sheet. So
you mentioned Tiro, T-I-R-O.
Well, we're just talking about T. Rowe Price, which is a firm in Baltimore, has a variety of mutual funds, including their New Era Fund, which is invested in energy. You know, you can buy an ETF like the XLE, which is an energy piece of the S&P 500. You get a lot of energy exposure out of that. If you buy an individual names, there's a lot more you've got to think about. How much you're going to own and which individual
names. Yeah, I wouldn't get crazy with it.
I
wouldn't own more than 4% of your portfolio if you're going with a diversified portfolio.
If you buy the S&P 500, you're picking up energy with that. But if you really want to make that energy call, I mean, there's a lot of different ways to play it. And you got to look at the whole picture and how it fits into what your portfolio is. It's not just, we're not calling a bottom here on energy.
Right.
So.
You really think it'll go down? What do you think about Obama's $10 per
that's
barrel?
That's a ridiculous strategy.
Everything he's done is ridiculous. But,
I would agree with that, but that's just you and me. I got to take my final break, but it's a good point.
Question.
I think it's wise that he's a contrarian looking at oil stocks right now.
Yep.
I think that's where you got to be thinking about. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily know I'd go hog wild in it yet.
Yeah.
Anyway, I got to take another hard break at 6:44. And we're going to our last break of the night before our last Valentine's Day song. Do you have a financial planner? Have you ever thought of hiring one? Or just need a second opinion? The satisfaction guaranteed service of the financial physical is designed with you in mind. Many listeners, just like you, come to me, Drew Tignanelli, host of Money, Riches, and Wealth, and president of the Financial Consulate, looking for a firm that is fee-only and can offer comprehensive financial planning. The Financial Consulate has not grown by selling insurance, annuities, and bank products. Instead, we pride ourselves on the wealth of knowledge we can provide to you and your family. Learn more about the Financial Consulate and the services that we can provide at drewtigg.com. That's drewtigg.com. Or call to schedule a no-obligation introductory meeting at 410-823-SAVE. That's 410-823-SAVE. See, now, Anita, you don't have any risk of my wife listening to this radio show, because she's told me many times, of course I don't listen to your show. I listen to you enough, she says. Why should I listen to you on the radio? I got Anita blushing now. Anyway, so we're on an open show, 410-922-6680. If you want to call on, and Linda, we're going to Linda. Linda, how can we help you?
Hi, Drew. Thank you for taking my call.
Not a problem.
My question is, if you have your retirement or your nest egg in an IRA earning simple interest, and you want to withdraw, say, $5,000, why do they take it from the core nest egg and not take it from your interest? Because when they take it from the nest egg, the nest egg that's making the simple interest is dwindling.
Well, but when you say simple interest, there's nowhere right now that any kind of simple interest is paying more than, let's just say, even if you're lucky, 1%.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this is different because this is very, very old.
Okay, so when you've been locked in for an interest rate where the floor of the interest rate is like 3 or 4%?
Right.
Well, but it's irrelevant if the interest is still in there. What's the difference? Where they take it from? I mean, it's the same thing.
See, that's what I don't understand, because if there's a core amount that the simple interest
but
is...
But how much are you taking out a year? Like, let's just say you had $10,000. Are you taking out $400 a year, your required minimum distribution, or what?
Well, I'm not at...
You're not
at the age where I have to take out the minimum.
So you're in your 60s.
Right.
Okay. So let's say you're taking out $400 a year, and it's earning 4%. So at the end of the year, you had $10,000. You take out $400. What's the difference? At the end of the year, you still have $10,000. Right?
Well, because on the paperwork, it shows the core nest egg that's making the simple interest depleting. Like $5,000 was taken. So instead of taking the $5,000 in interest, the $5,000 was taken from the core amount that's making the simple interest. The interest isn't making the
no compounding on your interest is what you're saying.
It's not compounding.
But right. The reason possibly is, Tom, is because she may be taking it early in the year instead of late in the year after they pay the interest.
Yeah, it depends on how they're structuring the, you know.
Pay it monthly.
They pay it monthly, but if you take a big lump sum, if you take the lump sum early in the year, then you'll get it all back before the end of the year.
When you say lump sum, what do you mean lump sum?
Do you get a check for $5,000, is $5,000 all you're taking in the full year?
Yeah, I mean, if something comes up, like, you know, something major comes up and you need it, you know, then.
So let's say in the course of the year, you make you take out $5,000, but you do it all in July, all right?
Okay.
And during the year, you make 3% interest, and on the amount of money you have in there, it's $5,000 of interest that you make, all right? If they're paying that monthly and you took it out in July, you'd only have $2,500 of interest in there by the time you take that out. So $2,500 would be coming out of the principal, and then you'd get the last $2,500. You'd have to wait until the end of the year until all your interest is compounded before you could take a lump sum and get the compounding of your interest on your interest. Did I make that clear? Because I confused myself when I said that.
It's a little ambiguous, because our understanding was that we don't make interest on our interest. It's not compounded. We just get simple interest.
If they're paying it monthly...
They're paying it monthly.
Then you are getting interest on your interest.
Or maybe it's just the structure of the deal, you know, that they got.
No,
into.
I'm not getting interest on our interest.
So
I'd have to see your contract.
Yeah.
You know, is it an annuity contract, a fixed
mm-hmm.
annuity contract?
An IRA annuity.
It's an IRA annuity, so it's a fixed annuity. But if they're paying interest, Tom, and they're putting the interest in monthly, it normally is compounded monthly. I mean, that's normally what they would do, but unless there's something in the contract to say otherwise.
Yeah, well, that's sometimes what you get with.
But even if it is simple, even if it is simple interest, then at the end of the year, if she took out the $5,000 at the end of the year, you know, she should just be taking her interest at the end of the year.
Right. Well, for some reason, they're having her take out the original contribution.
Well, correct. It may be
that's
because
what
she's
doing. That's what they show on the paperwork.
But that could be because she's taking it out earlier in the year before the interest is actually paid into the account.
So you have a big interest bucket, Linda, that you've built up over the years.
Yeah.
You know what? I just heard her say something. So you're looking at the contribution amount that's going down every time you take money out? Is that what you're seeing?
Yes. That's exactly what I'm saying.
Oh, well, that's irrelevant. I understand what you're looking at now, but that's really irrelevant. If
they said it was irrelevant, but I didn't understand their irrelevancy.
Well, I'm seeing that verbally I'm not able to communicate this to you, but if I could sit down and show you your statements, I could show you that the fact that they're saying that's coming out of your contributions is totally irrelevant.
Okay.
But I hear what you're saying. You know, what you really want to see is is your money deteriorating or is your money still going up at the end of the year? In other words, if you started out the year at $100,000 and you took out $3,000 and at the end of the year you only had $98,000, I would say something's wrong if they told you they're giving you 3% per year. But if at the end of the year you still have $100,000 after you took out $3,000, then I'd say it's irrelevant whether they say it's coming out of contribution or not. And there's a reason why, from their accounting point of view, they say it's coming out of contribution. And it's a technical thing from a custodian administration point of view.
Okay, well, I need a professional to...
Well, if you wanted to come and bring your statement to us and, a handful of statements for the last 2-3 years, we could easily show you that it's irrelevant.
Okay, I'd
prefer you do that after tax season for me.
Right.
Because I'll do it for you at no cost or anything, but I prefer you wait until after tax season as opposed to call and ask me to do it between now and April 15th.
No, I understand perfectly.
All right.
Could I ask you one more thing?
Real quick, because I've only got 27 seconds left before Anita boots me off and plays another Valentine's.
So if you're 70 and a half and you're still working, is it still mandatory that you take your...
If you don't own the company, then no. If you're still working, your 401k does not require you to take money out.
If you're 70 and a half?
If you're 70 and a half. And you can roll your IRAs into the company's 401k and defer your RMDs also if you want to.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strategy we've used quite a few times for our clients that don't need their RMD and are still working.
I see what you're saying.
All right?
Thank you.
So come see me after April. I'll help you with that.
Thank you very much.
All right, Linda, this is the end of our show. Bon. Anything going on next week?
Time flies. Yeah.
On the show?
Yeah, Chris will be here. Yeah.
All right. Chris will be here. Next week. Don't we have a guest?
No, that's
2 weeks from now.
We have a guest coming up soon.
That's 2 Wednesdays from now. Yeah. Anyway, the end of doom. That's what that's going to be all about. Anyway, happy Valentine's Day. I personally don't like Valentine's Day, but I didn't have anything else to talk about tonight. So, anyway, it's Drew Tignanelli saying God bless.